East Coast College Training, July 13th through 19th, 2009, Athens, Georgia. Title: Christ Lives in Me. Morning Session Number 1: Christ Lives in Me. Message 1: Receiving the Spirit.
So now we come to the first morning session. You know, the morning session, that is the first meeting after the break. So the whole line is called Christ Lives in Me, right? So not only the whole conference is Christ Lives in Me, and specifically now this morning, the first session, the whole line is Christ Lives in Me. Then the first lesson in this Christ Lives in Me is receiving the Spirit. What does it mean, receiving the Spirit? Well, Roman numeral 1 makes it very clear to us. So let us read Roman numeral 1 together. As believers in Christ, we all have been born of the Spirit to receive the Spirit, which being regenerated, we should now daily receive the Spirit. So, this, the Roman numeral 1 tells us the whole burden of this whole lesson. That is, we all know at the time when we believe into the law. Okay, let me ask you the third question. How many of you here have not received the law yet? Or have not been baptized yet? Anybody? Okay, praise the Lord. That makes our job much easier. So that means you all have believed into the Lord. And once you have believed into the Lord, what happened? First, you're saved, right? So once you believe into the Lord, you're saved. At the time when you're saved, what happened? Right, you're regenerated. That means you're born again. Why the Bible used this phrase, born again? That means all of us, all we human beings, we have been born the first time from our parents to receive the human life. Even though that human life is a corrupted, fallen life, but still, if your parents do not beget you, then you don't exist. So all of us, praise the Lord, we all have been born the first time. But just to be born the first time is not enough. And so God wants to beget us again. That means we all need to turn to the Lord and to listen to the word of the truth, just like what you just pre-read. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom you also, let's read that verse again. Just 13. In whom you also, having heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in him also believing, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of the promise. So this verse tells us clearly, at a time when you were, what? When you have heard the word of the truth. What is the word of the truth? Actually, it's the gospel that you heard. Praise the Lord that somebody, or the Lord has sent somebody to preach gospel to us. But I don't know what is your experience, but maybe different ones have different experiences. But anyway, you have heard something from someone, some Christians, and then you receive this word. And this word is the truth and from the Bible, and this truth is the gospel. Now, once we believe into the gospel, not only we have heard these truths, but we also have believed. What does believing mean? Means receiving. Believing does not mean that you agree. Now, many, quote-unquote, Christians, they agree. Oh, that was a nice teaching. Yeah, it's good. But I don't need it. And so you can ask other people. So that means you have heard it. You even thought it was good. But if you have not received, then you cannot get it. Okay. So this is what John chapter 1, verse 12 said, right? I believe many of you can recite this verse, right? What did it say? But as many as receive him, to them give the authority to be children of God, to those who believe into his name. So as many as receive him. This point is very important. In the Bible, who are the believers? Not the Sunday morning goers. Not those who say that they are Christians. Now, I was born again in Taiwan. So at the time when I came to the United States, I had already had 9 years of church life. So I had this habit. Once I met somebody, I would ask them, are you a Christian? This was our habit. If you are not a Christian, we're supposed to preach gospel to you. So when I went to the summer job, the first time in the office, I asked everybody, are you the Christian? Then they all said, yes, I'm a Christian. And I praise the Lord. Oh, United States, a Christian country, really true. But later, one of my colleagues said, you know, we're in New York. Say, in New York, as long as you are not a Jew, you are Christian. You know that? Oh, I said, I didn't know. So don't think that they say they are Christians, they're really a Christian. That all depends on whether they have received the Lord. Okay? If they have received the Lord, then they are a real Christian. If they have not received the Lord, sorry. Regardless how many times you go to Sunday morning service, you are not a real believer. So here it says that having heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in him also believing. Okay, then many things will happen. Once you believe, that means you have received the Lord into you, many things will happen. The first is you will be saved. Your sins will be forgiven. You will receive the eternal salvation. So all these things will happen. But not only you will receive the eternal salvation, but even more important, you will be what? You will be born again. Okay? You know, many, I don't know whether all the Christians have the same questions, that if a thoughtful Christian, they should have this question. That is, yes, now I have believed into the Lord. Okay, all my sins have been forgiven. All the sins I have committed have been washed away and have been forgiven. Amen. But how about now? How about tomorrow? How about tomorrow I sin again? What will happen? Right? Yeah, that's a good question. So that's why I don't know whether you have ever seen. I believe you have that the Rock of Ages. Yeah, you have seen that game, right? So what is the first verse say? Rock of Ages, there for me, may I self in yeah, order and the blood, which I vow, right? Sing. Okay. Pay attention to these two words. Double cure. We need a double cure. It is not that we have committed sin, so we have sinful deeds, then we have some cases before the Lord. That, praise the Lord. He died for our sins. His blood will cleanse our sins away. That's wonderful. But how about the sinful nature within us? How about that we will continue to sin? We often use this illustration. That is, I don't think I have time to do the illustration, and I don't think I need to do, you know, if you say that this judge and judge the one that who owe his landlord billions of dollars because he never paid his rent and he lived in $1 million mansion, and so the landlord say, oh, this guy owe me, and so wanted to ask the judge to put him in the prison, okay. Now, if the judge loves this tenant, and he did not want to put him in prison, but the other hand, the judge is a righteous judge. According to the law, he has to put this in prison. What should he do? Now, we often say, this judge is wonderful judge, so full of wisdom. And he loves this criminal, so he paid the rent for this criminal. And once he paid, then the owner cannot ask for the rent anymore, right? So he's free from being put in the prison. But how about tomorrow? How about next month's rent? So that means this salvation is only half, right? So if the judge is really, really care for this, wanted to give him a thorough salvation, then what should he do? He had what?
Keeps paying the rent.
Oh, that is still not good enough. This judge needs to teach him some skill, right? Let him learn some trade, right? So in other words, change his being. If this person does not have, has never learned any skill, then tomorrow he needs to borrow money again, right? So our God is a wise God.
Amen.
Full of wisdom. Amen. He never do things only halfway. Not only he came to be a man, he died for our sins. He paid the wages of sin.
Amen.
But also, he changed our being. We need to see we were not only sinners that we needed to be saved. Our sins needed to be forgiven. We also have a sinful nature within. Our whole being should be changed. In other words, the Bible tells us not only we are sinners, so the Lord came to die for our sins, but we are also dead. We thought we were very living, right? How old are you? Yeah.
46.
I don't want to expose your age, but what I mean is, in his feeling, in the past 46 years, he was a living person, right? But in God's eyes, of course, you have been saved long, I know. So in case if you are still not saved, then in God's eyes, this is a dead person.
Right.
He had been dead for 46 years. So then until one day he received the Lord Jesus Christ into him, then he received what? He received a new life into him. He received the life of God into him.
Yeah.
Then in God's eyes, only the life of God is the real life.
Amen.
Because only that life is the eternal life. That life will never die. Any life that can die is not qualified to be called life. So we were just living in a human life, and we just had a lot of activities. But in God's eyes, they were dead in sins. So not only we are sinners, we are also deadened. So we are dead people. Well, praise the Lord. The Lord has given us the full salvation.
Amen.
For the sinners, he died for our sins.
Amen.
He paid the debt of our sin. You know, the wages of sin is death.
Right.
So the Lord has paid our wages.
Yeah.
He died for us.
Right.
So when he died, we no longer need to die if we receive his work of redemption. But that is only halfway. We're also dead. We did not have life. Therefore, we were born again. God wants to regenerate us.
Amen.
Want us to be born again, receive his life into us.
Amen.
So this is what Roman numeral 1 said. As believers in Christ, we all have been born of the Spirit.
Amen.
At the time when we're born of the Spirit, what does that mean? That means we have received the divine life into us.
Amen.
That means we have received the Spirit into us.
Amen.
He that is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So, then we have received the Spirit at the time when we were born again. Then, having been regenerated, we shall now daily receive the Spirit. This is the whole point. This is the whole point of this message. The whole burden of this message is, since you have heard the gospel, since you have received the Lord as your Savior, so you have been born again, and at the time when you were born again, you have already regenerated. So the Spirit is in you. And this is the first important point. And here I want to point out another thing to you. In the verse, in the English version, you cannot see this. It just said, in him also believing, you were sealed. This "you were sealed" is the past tense, and did not really carry that original meaning. But in Chinese, there's one word indicate that you were sealed right away. Not even right away, just like what the outline says. That is in A, at the time of our regeneration. Let us read A together. At the time of our regeneration, when we believe into Christ,
we also receive the Spirit and were sealed with the Spirit.
So, in Chinese, there was this one word, indicate what? Not only right away, it is at the time. There's no time in between, no time gap. Just at the time when you receive the Lord, just right at that moment, you have received the Spirit. Why we want to emphasize this point? Why both Brother Ni and Brother Li emphasize this point at the time? So if you read the footnote of that verse, then Brother Li mentioned that at the time. And later in B, it says what? Again, let's read B. At that very moment,
and union took place,
we were grafted into the triune God. We received the Spirit as the pledge of our inheritance. The Spirit is the ultimate blessing of gospel. So it is at the moment, at the time, when you receive the Lord, actually you receive the Spirit into you. You don't need to wait any longer. Why they wanted to emphasize this? Because in Christianity, there was this kind of concept. Oh, who are you that you think you have received the Spirit? Oh, they thought after you got saved, maybe you have to wait for a few years. Maybe that you will grow up more. And maybe that you will be a good Christian. You have done a lot of good works. But then the Lord will honor you, will give you this Spirit. That is absolutely wrong concept. Okay, right away. Not right away. At that moment, you receive the Spirit. Therefore, I don't know what is your condition. And I don't want to ask any more questions. Don't think, oh, I'm so weak. I'm so immature. I don't know anything. And even though I'm a Christian, but I really a defeated Christian, so I'm not worthy to have the Spirit in me. No, no. That was Satan's lie. Anybody. We don't care what is your condition. God does not care what is your condition at this moment. As long as you have believed into the Lord, you have the Spirit in you.
Amen.
Now the problem is not whether you have the Spirit or you don't have the Spirit. Now the issue is you need to continuously receive more of the Spirit into you. Okay. This is the whole burden. So now the question is not whether you have or you don't have. We all have. Whether you are a backsliding Christian or whether you are a zealous Christian, makes no difference. We all have the Spirit inside of us. Okay? But we just need to receive more Spirit. So when the title said receiving the Spirit, that means we need to receive more Spirit. Okay? Then here in A, it specifically had this word, sealed. It says, we also receive the Spirit and the word sealed at this with the Spirit. You have this word sealed. But then B, it says, and at that very moment an organic union took place, we were grafted into the triune God, and that we received the Spirit as the pledge of our inheritance. So in point one, that is verse 13, you have this word sealed. And then in 14, you have this word pledged. Now, what does that mean? Why you have these two different words here? Now, really, it is more difficult to explain this matter of sealing now, because now you don't use seal anymore, right? But in the ancient time, whether it's in the Western world or in Eastern world, they all use this habit. That is, they use seal. And that time, they did not trust the signature. And in China, not many people can write at that time. So But they all have a seal. A seal is whether it's made of wood or stone or whatever. You just carve your name on that. So instead of you sign your signature, that they put a seal on. So that means this belongs to you. So I'm sorry, I did not put the seal. Oh, here is the label. Now, this label can be considered as a seal. Okay. So in other words, you use your seal with your name on, and then you, in the ancient time, whether it's you put in ink, the seal in ink, then you put on the paper. Right. Then this seal is on this paper.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Today, even though I don't think you use seal anymore, right? Even when I was young, okay. This is not the seal by ink. This is a seal with the hot-pressed seal, right? So this hot-press, now today, personally, not many people use this hot-press seal anymore. But for legal documents, they still use the hot-press seal. And the hot-press seal is a better illustration. Why? Two things. One thing is, you see that once you put the seal on, then it can never be taken away anymore. If it is by ink, maybe you still can rub it and make a mess so people won't see your name. But if it's the hot-pressed seal, then this seal can never be taken away,
amen,
right?
Amen.
The second thing is, then this paper bears the image of that seal, right? And so this is a very good illustration, but for those of you who sit in the back, probably you cannot see this, but after the meeting, you can all come and ask to see, oh, this paper has a seal. It's hard-pressed seal. That means the seal will stay with this paper forever, and also this paper bears the image of this seal.
Amen.
Okay? So it's a very good illustration. Even when I was young, we still use seal in China and in Taiwan. But nowadays, they all use signatures, no more seals. But anyway, as long as you get this point. Okay, why you have these two different words? One seal, another is pledge. That is because we are God's inheritance. In God's eyes, we are his inheritance. We are his possession.
Amen.
And as his possession, the Spirit sealed us. Not only the Spirit sealed us, the Spirit itself in us is the seal.
Amen.
So that means what? At least two important meanings. One is, this thing belongs to you. And that brother put the seal on that Bible, right? That means what? That means that Bible belongs to him. Okay? Not only that Bible belongs to him, this seal bears the owner's image. So this seal is the owner's image. And the third thing is the seal can never be taken away. So here, what does that mean? That means as the inheritance of God, we are God's possession. And so God sent his, or God's Spirit entered into us. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, actually, what came into us? Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ came into us. But this Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, he became the life-giving Spirit. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit.
Amen.
So when Christ came into us, the Spirit came into us.
Amen.
And this Spirit came into us as the seal of God. That means what? Now we belong to God. Yes, we do belong to God, but with the seal in it, then that is the proof we belong to God.
Amen.
Not only that, because the seal is in us, then we have God's image. Not only we were created according to God's image, now because we have believed into the Lord, now the Spirit in us bears God's image. Amen. So concerning, we are God's possession. We are God's inheritance. The Spirit in us is the seal. But not only we are God's possession, and also God is our possession. God is our inheritance. As God is our inheritance, the Spirit in us is what? It's a pledge. What does pledge mean? Pledge means it's a guarantee. Now you need to understand a little bit the habit in those days when Paul was on the earth. That was 2,000 years ago in Roman Empire. They have this, or in Greek society, they have this kind of practice. What practice? If you buy a piece of land, then the old owner, the seller, will give you some soil from that land. And this soil gives to you, it's the guarantee. Just like today, if you buy a house, that does not mean right away you can pay everything, you can move in. So it has to go through some process. And so sign the contract, maybe you have to go out to get a mortgage. But with God, He has promised us that He will be our inheritance.
Amen.
Imagine, God is our inheritance.
Amen.
God is our possession.
Amen.
As God is our inheritance, this Spirit inside of us is the guarantee.
Right. Amen.
Just like in ancient time, when someone bought this piece of land, the owner would give him a chunk of soil from that land. On one hand, it's a guarantee. That means if you have received this piece of soil, this bunch of soil from the old owner, that means this is the guarantee, one day I will get this whole land.
Amen.
And second, that soil is a foretaste. In other words, the owner, the old owner, want to let you know you did the right thing. You have bought the best piece of land. Just look at the soil, how rich it is. And one day, when you take the full possession of that land, I tell you, the whole land is as rich as this. So this is what pledge means. So we thank the Lord that on one hand, that the Lord is our possession. On the other hand, we are the Lord's possession. Now, as the Lord's inheritance and as God's possession, the Spirit in us is the seal.
Amen.
We belong to Him. Because the Spirit is in us, He's mingled in our spirit, the praise the Lord, we belong to God.
Amen.
And also, we bear God's image.
Amen.
And this seal, this Spirit, will never leave us. Impossible for the seal to leave us. But as God is our possession, God is our inheritance, this Spirit in us is the pledge. Is a guarantee. Because this Spirit in us cannot run away.
Amen.
It's too late. We have already received Him.
Amen.
Once He got in, He is sealed. And so the Spirit, even he wanted to leave, it's impossible.
Amen.
Just like that seal on the paper can never leave that paper. So I think this picture is very clear, right? So this is the picture. Therefore, what different that the Bible, or we real genuine born again Christians, and that the other religion is this, that the other religions, they can only tell you, oh, you have a God, there's a God. Even like Judaism or the Mohammedanism, they also worship one God, the creator of the universe. But they did not have the idea that this God will enter into them to be their life. So they just worship that God, and they just try to do some good things, try to please that God. But they never can have any subjective experience of this God. because they don't have anything enter into them. But we have.
Amen.
The God we believe enter into us.
Amen.
As the Spirit.
Amen.
And will never leave us. What we need to do is receive more of this. And we can have a foretaste. If you really enjoy the Lord, we will say more about enjoying the Lord this week. And so here in C says, although we were sealed with the Spirit and received the Spirit as the pledge at the time, again, at the time of our regeneration, receiving the Spirit is a lifelong, continuous matter. So after we got saved, we need to continuously receive the Spirit, receive more of the Spirit into us.
Amen.
Then let us read D together. Day by day, a marvelous divine transmission has taken place. God supplies the Spirit bountifully, and we receive the Spirit continually. So this is why you can see Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. Let us turn to Philippians 1:19 and declare this verse together. Philippians 1:19. All these are important verses. Okay. For I know that for me this will turn out to salvation through your petition and the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Repeat the last part. The bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. This Spirit we have received has many different names because it's a rich Spirit. All-inclusive Spirit has many different aspects. Every name is one aspect of this Spirit. Here in this verse, this Spirit is called the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That refers to this Spirit. It's after the Lord's death and resurrection. And this Spirit is not only the Spirit of Jesus, not only the Spirit of Christ, but the Spirit of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And this Spirit is also called the life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
And this Spirit is also called the Spirit.
Amen.
And this Spirit is also the indwelling Spirit.
Amen.
We have so many different aspects, but praise the Lord. This Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, gives us what? The bountiful supply.
Amen.
Today, this Spirit is the Spirit of life. When we were born again, we receive a new life.
Amen.
How do we know? It's because of the Spirit. Without the Spirit, life is mysterious. Life is abstract. It's hard for us to know life or to touch life or to enjoy life. But this life is the Spirit of life. This life is in the Spirit. So once you touch the Spirit, you touch this divine life. So when you have the Spirit inside of you, that is a guarantee that shows that divine life is inside of you. Coming with the divine life is the divine nature. So now we don't have to live according to our old life, according to our old nature. But we can live according to the divine life and according to the divine nature. How can we live according to the divine life? Very simple. Because this Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the life-giving Spirit, is inside of us.
Amen.
When you touch the Spirit, you touch this life. Therefore, let us read the E. God gives us His Spirit of life because we are His sons. Born according to the Spirit.
With the position and the full right to participate in God's promised blessing. Lawkeepers who are born according to the flesh
have no right to participate in God's promised blessing. So you have to see that it's a great mercy.
Amen.
It is really, I don't know how to describe it. God's great grace that we are born in this New Testament age. In the Old Testament time, God's chosen people cannot enjoy these things. I don't remember in what psalm, in one of the psalms David wrote, he said, he asked the Lord, do not withdraw your Spirit from me. Psalm 51, right? So we should never try to imitate David. Oh, David, such a godly man. He prayed, oh, Lord, do not withdraw your spirit from me. Oh, then you try to pray. No, no, no. That was an Old Testament prayer. David was in Old Testament. Regards how much he was according, he lived according to God's will, God's purpose, and he prepared all the material for God's building the temple. I admire David. I don't know how many of the brothers here used David as your name, but I don't criticize the name. But anyway, you have to see David is a person in the Old Testament. Today we are a person in New Testament.
Amen.
As the believers in the New Testament, we should never say, oh God, please don't withdraw your spirit from me. As we said earlier, the spirit, it's impossible for the spirit to withdraw or run away from us.
Amen.
Today, we have the spirit stay with us.
Amen.
And because we have the spirit stay with us, so we can experience or have a foretaste of the Spirit.
Amen.
If you read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, that is another verse. It's very familiar. And this verse tells us what? It says, as newborn babes and long for the guileless milk of the world, the word, in order that by it you may grow unto salvation.
Amen.
Then verse 3 said, and if you have tasted that the Lord is good. Today we can taste. We can taste the Spirit.
Amen.
By enjoying the Word. We'll come to that later. And when we have this intimate fellowship with the Lord, just like Brother Juan said in the first session, that we need to have a hidden life. What is the hidden life? Not only it means we will not do good works outwardly, try to show off and how good we are. No, the hidden life, more important meaning concerning hidden life is the root, that we all need to have a root inside and to absorb this supply from the Lord and to enjoy this life. And if you really spend time to have fellowship with the Lord, and then you will know He is good. Oh, that kind of enjoyment is very different from the worldly enjoyment. When you try to enjoy the things in the world, many times, on one hand, you think you had a good time, but at the same time, you get damaged.
Yeah.
And or you have been carried away by these things, you become drifting further away from God. No worldly enjoyment or entertainment, the worldly thing, will help you to be closer to God. And so we have a God that we can taste today.
Amen.
We can have foretaste today. What is the Spirit inside of us? That is the pledge. That is a guarantee.
Amen.
One day you will have the full enjoyment.
Amen.
Today, just a little bit. No, if you buy a 100-acre land, now this old owner give you this package, this whole bunch of soil as a pledge, as an example to show you how rich this land is. Compare this little, compare with 1,000-acre land. This is nothing. Or compare with 10,000-acre land. I was told that in the past in Texas, some farm is what? 640,000 acres. Compare that kind of good, huge land. This little whole bunch handheld land means what? Too small. But this is a good foretaste. Today we can have this foretaste. So with all this here, what does that mean? That means today the Lord has already given us this. And this Spirit is continuously supplying the Spirit to
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
Therefore, it is just like to build a power plant. You know, 300 years ago, there was no power plant, right? Whether it's in Atlanta or New York or here, Athens, no power plant, right? So no electricity, because that before Thomas Edison was born. But today, I don't know. The power plant in Athens was built in what year? I don't know, but doesn't matter. But I know somebody or the township or the city government at certain point, maybe 100 years ago or 150 years ago, they did build a power plant here. Whereas the power plant has already built, and also all the cables, all the wires had already been connected. So that means what? That means now the power plants are continuously supplying electricity to here. Amen. Therefore, today, we don't need to pray, oh, Lord, please give us some electricity. Oh, you know what? Having a college student conference, trainings. Oh, without the light, without electricity. Oh, we cannot see. We cannot not sing the hymns. We cannot read the Bibles. Lord, be merciful to us. Oh, give us some electricity. Do you need to pray to the Lord this way?
No.
The Lord said, well, you're foolish. I've already built a power plant. I have continuously sent electricity to you. All what we need to do is what? Is to flip the switch. As long as you turn on the switch, right away, electricity is here. You don't need to beg the power plant, please send some electricity to us. You only need to turn on the switch. And spiritually speaking, the same thing. And the Lord has died for us, has resurrected for us. He has become the life-giving spirit. Now he is the spirit of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so he continuously wanted to have this heavenly transmission, transmit himself into us more.
Amen.
All what we need to do is just turn on the switch.
Amen.
How can we turn on the switch? That is Roman numeral 2.
Amen.
So let us read Roman numeral 2. Having been born of the Spirit, we need to practice opening to the Lord and remaining in this heavenly transmission to receive the supply of the all-inclusive life in Spirit. So very clear, since we had been born of the Spirit, we need to practice opening to the Lord. That means we just turn our hearts to the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, whenever we turn our heart to the Lord, the veil will be taken away.
Amen.
Then we can come to the Lord, we can come to God face to face. With the unveiled face, we can have intimate fellowship with the Lord.
Amen.
And so here is then it mentioned two important things. One is to call on the name of the Lord. Another is to pray with the word of the Lord. That is how we can have the practical enjoyment of the Lord and also the practical way to turn on the switch and the practical way to receive this heavenly transmission, to receive more of the Spirit into us. So let us read A together. The way to open ourselves to this heavenly transmission is to exercise our spirit, to pray and call on the Lord. And here you have 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. That verse says, unceasingly pray.
Amen.
That verse troubles me very much when I was young. Unceasingly pray. How can we pray unceasingly? Regardless how long we keep our prayer, sooner or later we have to stop, right? How could we ever pray unceasingly? Impossible, right? But then, the word prayer is a very broad word. This word includes all kind of prayers. That includes thanksgiving.
Amen.
We thank the Lord. That is a kind of prayer. And also, we praise the Lord. That is a kind of prayer. And also, petition. That is ask for specific things. That is also the prayer. That is the prayer probably we are used to, right? All the time, ask the Lord. Same thing, give the Lord a long shopping list, and we think of praying. But anyway, that is. And another is supplication, that means we pray for other people. But another very important aspect of prayer is to have fellowship with the Lord.
Amen.
So prayer is a broad word, include all this kind. That also includes calling on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Whenever you call on the name of the Lord, that means you are praying. And when you call from the deep, most part of your being, you can contact the Lord. We don't want to, and we don't have time to illustrate this. When you call on the name of certain person, you get that person. right? Then we say, Ricky.
Yeah.
Ricky.
Yeah.
Why you follow me?
You call me.
I call Ricky.
Yeah, I'm Ricky.
You see, you call the name, you get the person. You call Jesus, you get Jesus.
Amen.
You want to have more of Jesus? Do you want to have more of the Spirit?
Amen.
When you call from the deep, most part of your being, you call his name, you get his person. His person is the Spirit. So here, it's very practical. The basic element in receiving the Spirit moment by moment is that we use our spirit to call on the Lord. Okay? You have so many verses here. Maybe we just read another verse, that is Romans chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. Okay, let us read together. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same law is law of all, and the rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not only at the time when you receive the Lord as your Savior, you need to be saved. Actually, we need to be saved from many things day by day. You know, even concerning this matter of to be saved, this salvation, in the Bible, at least there are five different aspects of this salvation. But we have no time to mention this. But anyway, every day we need to be saved. We need to be saved from our self-life. We need to be saved from our flesh. How can we be saved? Don't try to gnash your teeth and I want to save myself, or I don't want to lose bad temper and so Lord. And then here it says what? Here it says that we open ourselves to the heavenly transmissions to exercise our spirit to pray. And the call on the name. And I'm afraid some of you might misunderstand this word pray here. And you may think, oh, I need to pray. Lord, give me a good temper. Oh, I will never lose my temper again. But I'm afraid the more you pray this way, the faster you will lose your temper. And I have this little experience sometimes that I get involved with some kind of argument and a fight only because I walk into the room too early. Two brothers were fighting there, arguing, and I walk in and I got drawn into their argument. I said, Lord, why you don't protect me? And even if I just walk in 1 minute later, I will not lose my temper. Why you don't help me to keep my good temper? Then eventually we realized God never wants us to use our own strength to what? To have the good temper and to be a nice guy and to be gentle and to have patience. No. All what we need is call on the name of the Lord. So I did not realize the Lord did send me into at that moment, not 1 minute later, but 1 minute earlier. But what I should do is, brothers, let us all call on the name of the Lord. Then no more fight. So here you can see that call on the name of the Lord is the way to turn on the switch.
Right.
When we call on the Lord from the depths of our being and tell him that we love him, we breathe the fresh spiritual air.
Amen.
And calling on the name of the Lord is the secret, not only to our salvation, but also to our enjoyment of the Lord's riches.
Amen.
Now we read B together. Both the receiving of the Spirit and the supplying of the Spirit are also related to the hearing of the faith, which comes from the Word of God. 1. Faith comes out of hearing, and the hearing comes out of the Word of God. And we need to receive the Word of God by means of all prayer and petition. This is in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. In Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about that we have to wear the full armor of God. And then, it's the last item is that in verse 7, 16 and 17, it says, in verse 17, and receive the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Which Spirit is the Word of God? So we need to receive the word of God. But then verse 18 says, by means of all prayer and petition. So how should we receive the word of God? We need to receive the word of God by praying. So in other words, we have to mingle our Bible study, our reading of the word with our prayer. Why? In the Bible, there's a very important principle. That is, we all need to use the right organ to touch the right thing. Amen. If I want to see all of you, now I can see you. There are many different colors. And so yellow color shirt, green color shirt, blue color, and even blue had different kind of blues. And why? Because I have my eyes open. I can see this. If I close my eyes, I try to use my ear to listen to all these colors. Can you? You cannot. And then many times, just like the unbelievers said, well, how come I couldn't hear any color? That you say there's color. You are superstitious. I cannot hear it. And it is not. They don't exist. You have used your wrong organ. What is the right organ?
Spirit.
Yeah. You remember. But spirit is right. Because if you want to contact God, God is spirit.
Amen.
Right? So in John chapter 4, verse 24, it says, God is spirit.
Amen.
Those who worship him must worship in what? In spirit.
Amen.
And in truthfulness. The first spirit is capital letter. God is spirit. The second spirit is small letter, our human spirit. So we need to use the right organ. Here you have one more verse. Here that is in John 6:63. And that verse says what? No, the background of that verse of the Lord saying is that the Lord said, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. There will be life in you. All these, the Jews around him were troubled. We saw you are a rabbi, or you are the rabbi coming from God, supposed to give us some good teachings. How can you say that we should eat your flesh, make us what? Barbarian. But then Jesus said, no, it is the spirit that gives life.
Amen.
The flesh is nothing. That flesh actually refers to Jesus' flesh, the soft part of his body, the meat. In other words, even if you were there at that time, you had a bite of his flesh, you still cannot get life. It is the spirit gives life. The flesh profits nothing. But then he said, the word I've spoken to you, they are life. They are spirit, they are life. So when we eat the word of God, how can we eat? How should we eat? Mingle our reading with prayer. None of us are used to live according to our spirit because we were born in the flesh, grew up in the flesh, were used to living according to our flesh. But we can pray. We can pray ourselves into the spirit. So this is why we all need to mingle we need to practice the prayer reading. Especially, we also need to practice the personal prayer reading, so that you can have a personal fellowship with the Lord. So I will just stop here, and I hope we still have some time. We can have some response to this word. As you can see, all what we have covered here are not just some theory. It's not some doctrines, but they are very practical, and not only we can practice, we should practice. We have to practice all these things in our daily life. So then the Lord will not be someone far away from us. He's the one living right inside of us. Then we can continuously receive his rich supply. How about if you can have some response and some sharing?